Now we're going to read God's word together as we find it in Matthew's Gospel chapter 14. I'm going to read a passage that will be very familiar to all of us. We'll start to read Matthew 14, start to read at verse 22 to verse 33. You can see how Jesus walks on the water. We're going to think particularly this morning about Peter walking on the water. So Matthew 14, and we'll start to read at verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking in the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And we're going to think of that passage shortly. But Peter walks on the water. Now, in Bonnie, Scotland, we're all very used to physical storms. They're a regular occurrence. And we do well, of course, to prepare for possible physical storms. But our passage today isn't really about physical storms, although the incident happens in a great storm. But that's not what we're talking about. It's like Jesus' parable of the foolish man and the wise man who built new homes, and one built his home on rock, another built his home on sand. And then, of course, whenever the storm came, well, it's obvious what happened. But Jesus wasn't giving structural advice on how to build houses. He was giving spiritual advice. You see, weather storms illustrate personal life storms, and they are inevitable and often predictable or unpredictable. But we have to challenge ourselves. Are we prepared for personal spiritual storms? Personal storms come in many, many guises. Serious medical diagnosis can shake us spiritually. Financial disaster, unemployment, marriage difficulties, all these personal problems can disturb us spiritually, and we have to be prepared for them. When these storms unexpectedly come, they stretch our faith to the extremity. In them, as we all know, the Lord always proves his unquestioning presence with us and his power that is available in our daily lives. So the incident we're going to look at this morning shows the disciples in the midst of a powerful physical storm that shakes their personal faith to the extremity. Notice, first of all, the disciples' trials. The disciples' trials. Verse 22, Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side when he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went to a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. You'll notice that the text says clearly, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. They didn't have an option. Now, he didn't treat them physically, he didn't threaten them, but he certainly commanded, he instructed them to get into the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So the disciples were in a tight spot because they were following the commands of the Lord Jesus. The important thing to notice here is that just because you're in a tough spot doesn't mean that you're in the wrong spot. You see, if we are obeying what the Lord has called us to do, then you are exactly where the Lord wants you to be. Sometimes, like the disciples here, following the Lord Jesus means going through trials just by obeying the Lord Jesus. The disciples were in this storm on the Sea of Galilee. Doesn't that remind you of something? Hadn't the disciples experienced another storm? We find that in Matthew chapter 8. That was very different because Jesus was in the boat with them. And I love the way Mark talks about it. Mark says that Jesus was in the back of the boat with his head on a pillow, sound asleep. So the disciples had witnessed this before, the great power of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of his disciples. He calmed the storm with a word. He just said a word, and the storm immediately ceased. So you would ask yourselves, these disciples had experienced the physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in a time of great difficulty, and they saw firsthand that he had control over the elements. He had control over everything. So you ask yourself, where's the problem? Why were the disciples so afraid? They had seen it all before, but still they doubted. Now, as we look back in our lives, we do remember times when things were going badly. We've all been there. And it seemed, as we look back, that certainly at the time, things seemed to be getting worse, and it seemed as though the Lord Jesus wasn't there for us. But as you look back at these incidents in your life, we have all experienced them. Jesus was there, and he led us through the difficulty. Do you remember them all? He led us through the difficulty. And hopefully we have learned from these times that we have to go through times of testing. It's good for us. It refines us. Hopefully, we've learned these times of testing. But the disciples hadn't. They were in the physical presence of Jesus, and still they doubted. They hadn't learned the lesson yet. Jesus had told them explicitly, John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation. I mean, there's no two ways of looking at that. If you follow the Lord Jesus honestly, you will have trouble in this world. Jesus says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. God expects us to step out in faith and trust him. But I want you to notice something very important here. In the midst of this great problem the disciples had in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in a huge storm, they didn't give up. Isn't that tremendous? They were at the oars, and they were pulling away for all they were worth. And maybe they had a wee sail up, and it was flapping about, but they kept going. Notice verse 24 of our passage. The boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. They kept going, even through a storm. They kept obeying what the Lord had said. They had got to the middle of the lake. They had been rowing with great difficulty for maybe about 6 hours. Imagine 6 hours in the middle of this storm. But they didn't give up. Now you think about your life. We all have problems. And in the midst of a particularly difficult problem, you think about it. Our immediate reaction is, I'm out of here. Isn't that what an immediate reaction is? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm away. But the disciples stuck at it because Jesus had commanded them to do it. So they kept going. You see, Paul wrote to the Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Notice verse 25. In the fourth watch of the night, that was about 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. In the darkest hours of Israel's history, the prophet Jeremiah wrote these words, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And those plans for each one of us include, now think about this, these plans for each of us include storms, difficulties. They come into your life on purpose. God sends them to us that we would come closer to him. We would trust in him more and more. Jesus met the disciples on the waves and immediately said, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus was and is always with his disciples, always aware of what your situation is. Jesus knows exactly where you are at every moment of every day. He knows exactly what you're struggling with. Remember that Jesus spent over 30 years as a man living on earth. He knew what it was to have major problems in his life. And he encourages you, don't be afraid. Psalm 34 and 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them. The disciples' trials. But secondly, notice, Peter got out of the boat. Verse 29. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. It was William Carey, one of the very original men who went abroad with the gospel. William Carey said this, expect great things from God. Do great things for God. And William Carey stepped out in faith against the advice of the Baptist Union of Great Britain and Ireland, who didn't want him to go abroad. William Carey said, the Lord's calling me to this. So he went. Consider these examples of men and women in Scripture who obeyed God's command. Noah built an ark in the desert. Why? Because God instructed him. I wonder what he thought. And there was no water in sight. Anyway, Abraham left his home in the Ur of the Chaldees to set out for, he didn't know, but the Lord had called him. Moses led the people of God out of Egypt. He didn't want to. He felt that he wasn't the first choice. He wasn't the right man. But he obeyed, and he led the people out of Egypt. Now, just imagine this. Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho. Why? I mean, what? Why would you do that in the middle of a battle? He did it because God had instructed him to do so. So even though we initially read the story, think, oh, what a strange thing to do. Why did he do it? God had commanded him. David defeated Goliath. Elijah faced down the prophets of Baal. Esther risked everything for her people. And Daniel refused to defile himself with the king's food. All these people were risk takers. Why? Because God had commanded them, and they obeyed his command. Peter, here in our passage, was a risk taker, big time. How many times do we read in Scripture of Peter opens his mouth and then conveniently lifts both feet and sticks them in it? So many times Peter crosses the line. But here we read in verse 28, Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. Peter, in fear of his life in the storm, wanted to get to Jesus. So he asks the Lord, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter was commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to get out of the boat and come to him on the water. You see, Peter had permission to do this from the Lord. The Lord commanded him, come. So Peter did. But first of all, he had to get out of the boat. Now, this literally happened, yeah? This is a true incident in the life of Jesus and the disciples. In the middle of a storm, they were maybe bailing out the water. Waves were crashing over them. The wind was howling. If there was a sail, it would have been flapping. Peter got out of the boat and stepped onto the water. He obeyed the Lord. You see, in life, we all have experienced times when we passed up the call of God. We really believe God was calling us to do something. Like, for example, how often have you felt, I should really go and visit so-and-so? Yeah? How often have you felt that the Lord has put this into my mind, that I should go and visit somebody? Ah, but I've got that wee bit of shopping to do and what have you. And we don't do it. Yes. How many times have we experienced that we've passed up God-given opportunities to do something for the Lord, but we didn't get out of the boat? Mark tells us about a rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked Jesus, Mark 10:17, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And rather than listen to and obey Jesus, the rich young ruler wouldn't get out of the boat and trust Jesus. And he went off disappointed, as the Lord was. But Peter made a critical decision. Continue to struggle in the boat or turn to Jesus for help and relief. Big decision to make. Peter decided it was better to be in the storm with Jesus than to continue struggling in the boat without him. Peter, by faith, dared to get out of the boat and walk on the water to Jesus. You'll notice in the text that Peter walked on the water to Jesus. He covered the full distance. Peter walked on the water and came to Jesus. Sometimes the greatest miracles that happen in our life, when we step out in faith, when we get out of the boat and do something and surrender to God's power rather than relying than on our own feeble strength. God has a way when we get out of the boat. God has a way of parting the waters, calming the seas just for us. Proverbs 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, which we're all prone to do. Yes, we tend to see things through our own eyes rather than through the eyes of the Lord Jesus. When all's been said and done, Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. That should set us back on our heels. Amazing. The disciples' trials, Peter got out of the boat, and finally, Peter saw the wind. I spent some time thinking about that phrase. Verse 29, so Peter got out of the boat and walked in the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Peter walked on the water and came to Jesus. It's important to notice that Peter actually did cover the distance on the water to reach Jesus. But that makes what we read next so puzzling. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. When he saw the wind, but you can't see the wind. The wind comes and goes. We can see what the wind is doing. And I checked quite a number of versions of scripture, and every one of them says he saw the wind. So it's not a mistranslation. It says Peter saw the wind, took his eyes off the Lord Jesus, and started to sink. There was plenty to see and be afraid of, but I'm always stuck with the fact that what he saw was something you can't see. It was in his mind. It was in his mind. It's what he thought scared him. It wasn't that he had lost faith in himself, because he had done what the Lord had called him to do. But his faith in Jesus, strong enough to get him out of the boat and walking on the water to Jesus, wasn't strong enough to stand up to the storm. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, took his eyes off the Lord Jesus, and started to sink. When Peter got to Jesus, he lost faith. It wasn't the huge waves. It wasn't the noise of the water smacking against the boat. It wasn't the sails flapping that scared him. They didn't scare Peter. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. All imagination. We've all experienced it, haven't we? We've got a certain distance, and we start to cross bridges that we didn't come to. We start to fight wars that we weren't invited to. Yes? All up there. We're scared of our own thinking and how true it is. Our fears are largely up there. We tend to imagine dangers. But so often, the things that sink us less than the waves in the water are the unseeable things, things that we imagine. That's where Satan gets us, the unseeable. You see, he encourages us to think about things that aren't relevant. I mean, Peter's there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and he's there at Jesus. He can reach out and touch him. But he starts to think. He starts to think. And of course, Satan encourages us to think about irrelevancies, about things that we can't see. So when Peter started to sink, verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him and saying, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, it's a rhetorical question. Jesus didn't expect Peter, in the middle of this, and he's relieved that he's not drowning. He wasn't expecting Peter to give him an answer. Peter would have had no answer for the Lord. Why did he doubt? He was there. All Jesus had to do was reach out. He was there. He had reached him. So why at the last moment did he doubt? And it's something we have to consider, because there's so many times we withdraw from things over an issue that's totally irrelevant. Yes, it's happening up here. We're walking across a bridge that isn't there. You see, if we really think at those moments whenever we doubt, if we were to ask ourselves, why? Why am I doubting? We will find that there's absolutely no reason to doubt, because we've got that distance. Peter got to Jesus. Whenever he lost faith, he took his eyes off the Lord. All Jesus had to do, the text tells us, all he had to do was reach out his hand. Peter was there. You see, we all know that Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and 8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But in our spiritual battle, sometimes we give Satan more credit than he deserves. So many times we blame Satan for things that are our fault, things that we do purposely, and we say that the devil made me do it. We have to remember that Satan is not in the same league as our God. You see, the devil isn't omnipotent. He hasn't all power. He's not omniscient. He doesn't know what you're thinking. He can't get into your mind. He can't get into your mind by encouraging you to consider things. But he doesn't know what you're thinking. He's not omniscient. And he's not all present. He's not everywhere at the same time. Now, of course, he's got legions of demons who follow his instructions, yes? But it's not Satan who's encouraging you to do wrong. He's not like God in any way. He's inferior. Look at the life of Job. Satan couldn't do anything without going to God and asking his permission. The wonderful climax to this incident in the life of Jesus. Whenever Peter and Jesus got back into the boat, the storm ceased. Isn't that wonderful? The storm ceased. Verse 32, the wind died down. They got into the boat, the wind died down. But those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This was the first time that the disciples referred to Jesus as the Son of God. And it's a statement, in fact, that builds on what they had said in the previous storm, whenever Jesus stilled the storm. Do you remember the disciples said, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So now they build on that statement and say, truly, you are the Son of God. The disciples' trials, Peter got out of the boat. Peter saw the wind. It's a wonderful incident. I thought about this. If I'd been in the boat whenever Peter and Jesus got into the boat, what would I have done? I suspect most of us would say, good on you, Peter. You actually walked in the water. How did it feel? What did you think whenever you were one? Yeah. But it didn't. They could have had a discussion on miracles. I wonder, could I do that now? Will you be able to do it tomorrow, I wonder? That's the sort of thing that we probably would have discussed with Peter and Jesus when they got into the boat. But what did the disciples do when Jesus and Peter got into the boat? They worshipped him. And maybe there's a lesson for us in that passage. We're to look to Jesus. As the little hymn that we sung, we're not to take our eyes off him. We're to trust him implicitly with everything.